Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A content warning before we begin. This episode features discussions of consent and sexual assault. If you're currently in distress, please call 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737-732 or visit 1800respect.org.au for support.
You're listening to a special interview episode of Popcorn Podcast with Lee and Tim, where we're speaking to Mia McKenna-Bruce, recipient of the BAFTA EE Rising Star Award, about her new film, How to Have Sex.
I'm Timmy Fland, movie buff.
And I'm Lee Livingstone, entertainment journalist.
And we love to talk all things movies. Now, in How to Have Sex, three friends let loose on a euphoric post-exams trip to the Greek party resort of Malia, where they navigate sex, consent, and friendships on the vacation to end all vacations.
How to Have Sex is written and directed by Molly Manning-Walker, starring Mia McKenna-Bruce, Lara Peak, Enver Lewis, Sam Bottomley, Sean Thomas, and Laura Ambler.
Before we welcome today's guest on Popcorn Podcast, we want to give you a bit of a background about this incredible young British star.
And Mia McKenna-Bruce's star is rising fast. She made her film debut as Mila Jovovich's on-screen daughter in sci-fi thriller The Fourth Kind. We've also previously seen her as Mia Karp in Vampire Academy and as fan favourite Mary Elliott alongside Dakota Johnson in Persuasion.
Now, for her performance in How to Have Sex, McKenna-Bruce just won the EE BAFTA Rising Star Award, beating out Jacob Elordi, Ayo Edebiri, who is an award season favourite right now, whichever direction you're looking, and also Talk to Me's Sophie Wilde.
That's right. We are delighted to have Mia McKenna-Bruce on Popcorn Podcast to talk about her exceptional performance and this groundbreaking film. We've actually been trying to land this interview since we first saw the film back in August. And Tim, you spoke with writer-director back then, Molly Manning-Walker.
Yes, it's been a long journey bringing this content to you in these conversations, so we're absolutely thrilled. So at long last, in our chat, we discuss how director Molly Manning-Walker nurtured self-belief in Mia's performance, the research she did to land the perfect dumb dad jokes, that's a bit of fun, where the societal pressures around sex come from, and the bond her co-stars all formed while filming this fun yet powerful film together.
And there's so much more to this interview, so let's take a listen.
Hi, Mia. It's so great to talk to you. How are you doing?
Hi, Tim. I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Now, let's address the elephant in the room, shall we? Congratulations on your incredibly deserving EE BAFTA Rising Star win this week.
Thank you so much. That still feels so surreal to hear it out loud.
Right. I was going to ask you, have you processed what's happened yet? And do your little sisters finally think you're cool?
No and no. I was expecting like messages from my sisters to be like, no, you're so cool. No, they don't exist.
Oh, well, that's just what siblings are like. I'm one of four, so yeah. I know exactly what that must be like for you right now. Just quickly, in your gorgeous acceptance speech, you said your nonna and granddad are your lucky charms. How so?
Yeah, so actually funny story. My nonna has these two like squidgy lucky pigs that ever since I was little, when I went to auditions, she would give one to me for like good luck. So I very nearly said lucky pigs. And then I was like, oh no. And I was like, if I say this, no one is going to get it. And I had this really like split second decision to say lucky charms or lucky pigs. And I luckily went for lucky charms because otherwise people would have been like, what's she talking about?
It would have been lost in translation for the international audience, but it would have meant something to you. And I love that it's a lucky pig too. That's really cute.
Yeah. They're like these little like stress ball pigs that I used to take with every audition, to every audition with me.
There you go. Lucky charm, because you landed the role of Tara in How to Have Sex. It's an extraordinary film. It's a lot of fun though, but it really challenges you naturally in the subject matter. It's so visceral. It's deeply relatable. It has a lot to say, and I've been fortunate enough to see the film twice now. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Thank you so much. I think you've seen it as much as I have.
Oh, right. Okay, that's something that I always wonder about actors in films, because you obviously go to all the premieres and such like, but so you've only seen it a handful of times.
Oh, no, I've seen it three times. I've seen it at Cannes, and then we had one screening before Cannes for just the cast, and then I saw it once in London as well. So three times. I've got one up on you.
Hey, not that bad. I'll allow it. Not that bad that you can say you saw your film at Cannes. That's pretty special. You're just flexing now. How did the film and the role of Tara come to you?
So I first did a self-tape maybe like 7 months before we started shooting. I did this self-tape over like the Christmas break, and I was working on another job. So a few bits came through over Christmas, and my agents were kind of like, look, like if you just want to write it, don't worry like about doing them kind of thing. But I read the script and I was like, no, I love it. I really want to do this. So I taped, and it was a few scenes from the script. And also Molly wanted a TikTok video. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know anything about TikTok. So in come the sisters, very helpful at that point. This is probably why they think I'm not cool. And I get them to like do this TikTok with me. And then I thought, oh, I'll get my dog in it, because if you don't love dogs, like, that's a problem for you. Then somehow, Molly was like, love it. And then called me in for a meeting, and we just hit it off straight away.
Oh, I love it. What was it like working with Molly? I spoke to her last year when I first saw the film. And, it's an incredible journey that the movie has come on in her story. What was it like collaborating with her for her feature debut too?
Yeah, it's just, magical is the only way I can describe it. Like, she is such a collaborator, which is so exciting to be a part of. And she just pours so much heart into everything that it makes, the whole set, cast and crew, we were all like just wanting to give it our all, like for Molly. So everyone was turning up every single day, loving what they were doing. Us actors, like, prepared to be completely vulnerable at all times. And she gave me this kind of sense of like self-belief that I'd never really had before. And that kind of, made me just even more like want to give it my all. So I think, that's one of the reasons the film is so, so special, because of Molly's way of working.
Absolutely. You certainly gave it your all. And speaking of Tara, the banter, she's got the gift of the gab. She's your gal if you want to get a poolside view room, right?
Sure.
She's the life of the party. What do you love about Tara?
Yeah, I think that's it. She is genuinely a lover of just life. I think that was what I really loved about Tara. She goes in and everything to her is the best thing in the world. She sees that room and it's like literally the best room she's ever seen. And I love that about her.
It's almost like a line of dialogue. The room's so big, it's the best.
Yeah. Crazy. So that was actually the first time we saw that room as well. Like, Molly wanted to make it like obviously very authentic, so they didn't let us see it before we actually shot. And they were like, just go in and go crazy.
Okay, so on that, because the style of the film is quite documentary-like, right? So it's just observing. It's so beautifully shot. My God, I wish I had half an hour to talk to you about this movie.
Yeah.
There's so much to it. But did that mean the way that Molly shot it, in getting your genuine reactions, experiencing the spaces for the first time, was it quite freeing, or was there some blocking from time to time, or could you just move pretty freely in the space?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of both, depending on like what we were shooting, because obviously when it comes to kind of the club scenes where there was like 300 extras as well, that all had to be, you know, quite regimented to hit marks and stuff like that, because otherwise we just get lost. There was one time where I think she kind of let me loose just walking around the club, and she was like, that doesn't work, we can't see her because I'm very small compared to everyone else.
I've lost my lead actress.
Yeah, literally like Mia is lost in the sea of people. So there was a lot of that. But yeah, when it comes to like finding the room or the scene between Tara and Badger where Tara was like telling jokes, they were just, Molly was like, just tell some jokes. So there was a lot of times as well where it was completely free flow. And that's obviously really exciting as an actor as well.
So are you telling me that some of those jokes while Badger had his head in the toilet came from you? Like, were they improvs?
Yeah. It was all improv. But I did cheat and Google. I tried to Google like top dad jokes or something, but then I'd forgot them all by the time we came to shoot in. So that's what most of the jokes were, me just trying to remember these jokes that I'd read.
No, but that's, oh gee, I love this. I love it because it just comes across like you are just sitting there, you know, chewing the fat. You're just making shit up just to make him feel slightly better about himself, which is a
also,
mean task.
Also, my goal was to kind of like, because Sean was supposed to, you know, be like passed out on the toilet basically. Yeah. And so my goal was to try and make him laugh. And I did get him a few times.
You did. I feel like it's a bit of a blessing in disguise that you forgot some of those dumb dad jokes because, you know, social suicide sort of vibes.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It was my brain doing me favours at that point, I think.
Subconsciously. There's so many layers to your performance, Mia, but what was the most important aspect of Tara that you wanted to convey?
Great question. I think the main thing was to make sure she was presenting something else to what she was actually feeling, if that makes sense. Yeah, trying to continue this life and soul that we see of Tara at the beginning, despite everything that's going on internally for her, was the most important thing, I think, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because there's things that no one else knows that she's experienced around her. So she has to keep up appearances, but then also just marinate in the trauma of what she's experienced. So
keeping up appearances, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
You're welcome. You can use that in future.
Yeah, I'm gonna jot that down. Thank you.
You can have it for free. You certainly don't want jokes from me. That's for sure. Just on the sort of things that Tara is trying to grapple with, you know, where did the very real pressures to have sexual experiences on holidays like this come from? Because it's quite unrelenting in this film. That sort of social expectation, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what we really tried to tap into, the fact that you get these pressures from all over, so from your mates. So Molly wanted to put a kind of image of a naked woman in every scene, so like on the towels, on the lighters, stuff like that, like subconsciously hidden throughout, or like on key rings, things like that, because in real life it's everywhere, these subtle things to kind of like to take you to that place. So it was really kind of trying to get across how it is everywhere. And I think particularly, we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, actually, particularly kind of having this age on sex. I don't know if it's the same in Australia, but in the UK is like 16 is the legal age to have sex. It kind of makes it like a goal for people almost. And I think that comes from when we have sex education lessons, it's all very, very biological. They take away any of the emotion side of it. So I think, you know, growing up, going into it, you don't realize how much like of you give up when you lose your virginity or you do have sex. You don't realize the emotions that come along with that because you never talk about it or you never talked about it.
And that's what's so important about this movie, because it's a stepping stone, which is a shame because we should be further along stepping stones. But the value of this movie is not to be lost on that sentiment.
Yeah.
Because in your BAFTA speech, you said that people will feel seen watching this movie. How's it been like to experience such positive, or maybe a better word is profound, reactions to your film from audiences?
It's been fascinating, and I've been saying quite a lot, it feels really bittersweet because it's obviously really hard to have that realization of how present like Tara's story is for so many people. And I think we knew it was common, but I don't think we quite processed how much. And that's a hard realization to have. But then being a part of hopefully changing that is also really empowering, maybe is the word, I think, that people want to change that. And the fact that the film is doing well goes to show that there is this need for change and people are on board with that change being a thing.
Absolutely. Mia, I want to talk about the supporting cast, because it's such a strength of the film, because the world looks so lived in. And it's the on-screen chemistry of Sean, Lara, Enver, Samuel and yourself. Did you get to spend much time together to build that trust and chemistry? I mean, you spent 6 weeks filming together that would have been nurtured there. But did you hang out before?
Yeah, so me and Lara, who plays Skye, we were both cast very early on in the process. So then we did these chemistry reads together for like 6 months nearly. So me and Lara got to know each other really well. And then when the others came in to chemistry read with us, it was like this instant click that felt like we'd all known each other for a really, really long time. And then we had these rehearsals, I think maybe 2-3 weeks worth of rehearsals before we got to set, which doesn't sound that long in the grand scheme of things. But when you're spending all day, every day with people and just sat there either going through these scenes, or we were just sat getting to know each other, talking about our teen years, talking about, you know, just life in general for each other, you have this really, really strong bond, and that just grew and grew and grew. And, you know, it's amazing, because we are, like, as cliche as it sounds, this family, not just us as a cast, but as a crew as well. Molly made it this thing to make sure we were doing things at least once a week as a cast and crew, like football, music nights, poker nights, so that, you know, we were all genuinely friends there.
Oh, it's utterly convincing. And you're allowed to lean into cliche. It's great to hear that you all came across as a family and you had that shared experience, because, you know, what you're talking about in the film isn't easy, despite there being many joyous moments of friendship and celebrating life and creating those core memories. There's something else to say outside of that.
Yeah.
Curious though, are cheesy chips like the foundation of a really good friendship?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, without a doubt. When I saw cheesy chips in the script, I was like, yeah, that's a bit of me.
That's it. Now, you filmed in Malia, Greece, which would have been so wild and fun, but Tara's whole life changes one night, and part of that shift for her and the film tonally is when you're walking down the deserted Malia Strip. Visually, it's so impactful. But that wasn't quite your reality, was it, when filming? Because Molly told me that there were hundreds of people behind the camera allowing you to get that shot. That's insane.
Yeah, there were, because they had to like block off the strip. So at either end, there was like 100 people behind the camera, like where Molly was, but also from where I started walking down, there was also a whole load of people down that end as well going like, what's going on? And I'm just there like, hey, don't pay attention to like all the people watching right now.
I mean, because you have to go to a place, you know, a really dark place there. How did you prepare for that? And how many times did Molly get you to do it as well?
Yeah, so another amazing thing about Molly is she doesn't obviously make us do it more times than necessary. So she didn't make me do it too many times at all. And also, we didn't really know what that scene was going to be. Like, we knew it was kind of the aftermath of everything and it was sitting with Tara, but we didn't really know where it was going to go. Like, it wasn't like written in the script, like we see Tara walking down the street crying. We kind of just did it a couple of times and saw what kind of came to me in that moment of, I was just trying to process it as I was walking down, kind of taking everything in and processing, you know, where Tara would be at that moment, what she'd been through. You know, she's gone away on this holiday with her friends. She's completely been taken advantage of. She feels alone. She feels deserted. Then she met these people that are what friends really should be like. So then she's questioning her friends and, you know, just trying to have that inner dialogue of where Tara's mind was at, was what I was trying to do with that.
You're extraordinary in the movie, Mia, and congratulations again on your BAFTA win. The film is brilliant. I can't wait for more audiences to see it. They're going to see it in Australia from March 7, which is really soon.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see what you do next. Have a great day, and I'll hopefully get to talk to you one day soon.
For sure. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Where have you been?
Lee, I'm so glad I asked why her nonna and granddad were her lucky charms, as mentioned in her BAFTA acceptance speech, because the truth behind it was way cuter and more wholesome than I anticipated.
So wholesome. I love it. Mia is definitely a talent to watch, and her raw, lively, and deeply nuanced performance in How to Have Sex is truly something to behold.
We encourage you to see this film for the conversation it is trying to have about sex and consent, and for how beautifully it is made as well.
And be sure to check out our interview with writer and director Molly Manning-Walker wherever you get your podcasts.
How to Have Sex is in Australian cinemas from March 7. And as always, friends, thank you so much for listening.
We'll catch you next time. We are now on YouTube, guys, where you will find our latest celebrity video interviews. Simply search Popcorn Podcast with Lee and Tim and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single one.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.